September 11th, 1988, an interview with Donald Ware, who lives on Hutton Street in Northville.
You shouldn't have said Hutton Street. You should have said Wheelbarrow Avenue.
That's right.
The reason that's called Wheelbarrow Avenue is this, you know, way back when Northville didn't have a dump, and everybody had to dump their stuff, their tin cans and their ash and so on, they wheeled it down to Wheelbarrow Avenue, which was now Hutton Street. And at one time it was called River Street, way back.
That was before my time.
Yeah, well, that's been back in 1850 or so, probably.
How long has your family been in Northville, Don?
Oh, God. I don't know, 1800 and something.
That's fantastic.
Well, my mother was 77 when she died.
And she was born in Northville?
Yeah.
And her maiden name was?
Ina Walters.
And your grandfather's name?
Was William Walters.
What business was he in?
He was a stonemason. Most of the houses that are in Northville, the old houses, he laid the stone in. The one up there where Castellite lives.
Is that right?
On Fairbrook.
Yes.
He laid the stone in that.
On Rogers.
On Rogers.
Rogers Street.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
There are so few of those homes left.
A lot of them they tore down.
That's right.
The old family home on Dunlap was tore down.
That
parking lot is for the well, it was Kroger's parking lot.
And you were born in Northville, of course.
Yeah.
And how many in your family?
Just two, my brother and I.
Is he still living?
No, he was killed. He was killed riding down the hill on Bucks, we call it Bucks at Hill.
It's now, where is that located?
Up where the Northville...
High Street.
Well, no. Yeah, it's High Street, but I'm thinking of our old people's home.
It's the retirement village.
I shouldn't say old people's home. But
the retirement village, which was the sanitarium.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a sandwich.
Yes, yep.
That was Scott Norm up on the top.
Yep. And hit by a car? Was he?
No, hit by, he hit another bob. He's coming down the hill, and another bob was coming down that little incline from Rogers.
Oh, head on.
Not Rogers, but Randall.
Randall.
Yeah, head on.
Oh. And what was your family's business, the Ware family?
Well, my mother had a restaurant
in the
25 years. The Bean Shop. Or a good place to eat. The name on the sign was a good place to eat.
And that, where was that located?
Where the Brader store is.
Oh, right. And is that how you got your nickname?
Yeah.
Beaner Ware.
I was Little Bean, my brother was Big Bean, my mother was Mrs. Bean.
That's great.
Well, we never catered. Well, I don't remember as a youngster growing up that women ever came into the restaurant. It was always men. In those days, we had teamsters that run a bill there. They'd eat in the store and run the bill there.
Now, teamsters delivering in trucks?
Or no, horses.
Oh.
We had three livery stables. When you wanted to go out with your gal friend, you went in and rented a horse and buggy. Should I say that what they did sometimes?
Yes, sometimes tell that.
Well, sometimes when they wanted to pull a bad trick on somebody, they knew he was going to rent a horse and buggy. They'd brand the horse, give him lots of brand. And you know what happened to that.
That's great. What other businesses were long Main Street in those days?
Oh, well, next door, well, right where the 5 and 10 is going out now, was a theater. The Opera House.
The Opera House.
And then next to that was another two-story building with a bakery and a pool room. And then next to that, going up the street, was the bank.
Right.
Babbitt's Bank. Babbitt's Saving and Loan.
And that was on the corner?
No, in between. It was before we get to
right.
Beyond the bank was a shoe store. And then in between the shoe store and Black's, where the bakery is, was Gordon's men's store, called Gordon's. High class at that time.
Expensive suits?
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. And then they had the Palace Meat Market, which was there for years and years.
Who ran that?
Butch Baldwin.
Good old Butch. You have a picture of him in your collection, right?
Butch Baldwin. And then I think the other side of Butch's was a grocery store. Brock's.
Did you go up a couple steps into that store?
Yeah, Brock's.
I remember.
Brock's grocery store. And then Spag's. Beyond that, Spag was always there, as I can remember. Well, somebody, not, it wasn't Spag, it was Cascarello's. And then Spag, or Cascarello sold out to Spag. There was some relation. And Spag's went on up to Albion, up in that area. And there's still a Spag family up there selling the same kind of peanuts, because we stop in and get peanuts every time we go to Albion.
That's great. And then, was the bank on the corner then?
Yep, there was a bank on the corner. And in between the bank and Spag's, the building that's there yet, where the photograph store and the little people store. What else is in there? No, it's just the two stores. That was one store. There was a bowling alley in there.
Right on Main Street.
Right on Main Street.
I presume only men bowled in those days.
Oh, yeah. No women in those days. No. Oh, the hell, I had to hitch most of all in the Main Street.
Right.
My horses.
Were there apartments upstairs at that time? And tell what we found in the alley behind the
three-story privies. Outhouses. Three stories.
That has to be...
Or two stories.
Two stories, yeah. And they would, walk across the...
The boardwalk, and they were offset.
Yes.
And they had to be offset.
Of course. Otherwise, the downstairs would never be used.
No.
I think that's fantastic to think of. A two-story...
I don't know, on the other side of the street, on the south side, I don't remember whether they had the two stories or not, but I suppose they did, because they had apartments upstairs. The Friedels lived upstairs on the second floor for years and years.
Now, the Bruno's, Bruno Friedel.
Was a father.
Was a father who started the business, and then Charles.
Yeah. And he had a brother in Plymouth that had a business, same kind of business, a tailor. Now, I don't know where they learned their trade. up on the bench with her legs folded up and underneath the soul.
Yeah.
The soul was on their lap.
Right.
Because they had machines, but not like today. A lot of that stitching was done by hand. Even back then. And then Charlie, the one that just passed away, he started the cleaning business.
Oh.
In wash tubs. Gasoline out in the alley.
Now that was the first cleaners in North
Carolina. Oh, yeah, the first cleaning. Yeah, and they're still in the business. We got to go back, when you say, probably 80 years, 75 or 80 years, and we had a cleaning business in North Carolina.
That's fantastic. And there are grocery stores also on the south side.
You know, we had only one that I know of, that I remember of. And we had two drugstores.
They were there, but
for a long, long while.
Same
well,
location.
Now, the Murdochs had a drugstore where the one on the end across the theater.
Oh, yes.
That's always been a drugstore. That I say always.
That's right. And then next door to that, there were houses, correct? I'm going east?
East, yes.
Yes.
The doctor's office, or a doctor's home.
Yes.
I don't think that Dr. Burgess, I don't think he ever practiced medicine in North Dallas. It was a home. But I don't know where he must have practiced in Detroit. Because he didn't practice in North Carolina.
Then next to that was the Merritt House, was that
yeah,
called?
Merritt.
With overnight
boarding house. They call it boarding house in those days.
Now, did those men eat there, or did
yeah,
they come
they
over?
Had, no, they had their meals there, but if they wanted a snack, they came across the street. The only well in Northville, the only water that we had was at the Merritt House. They had a well in the front yard, and everybody had to go lining up with their pails.
It was a pump?
Pump, and you had to get water. We didn't have any sewers in town.
So you would go across?
We'd go across, and you'd fight in line to keep your spot in line. That was the old Merritt House.
Fantastic.
Next to that, what's been the building is still there, was the laundry. Or the beauty parlor. What's in there?
I think a beauty shop, barber shop. Yes.
Beauty shop. Yeah. But that was laundry where they had the stiff collars and all that
yes.
stuff.
Yes. Now, not the Frid family operated that one.
No.
It was way before the Fritz.
I don't remember. I probably will recall the name of the people that had it there because they lived upstairs.
Yeah.
It was quite an establishment because you figure the hard collars, and everybody wore hard collars to church, so they probably didn't change that every. They probably didn't change the collar every week.
Starched well, it
yeah.
lasts several
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
Right. And the Now, and going
now where Mrs. Lowell's office is, that's always been there. And that was way back, Dr. Henry's office. And then beyond that, where Long's is, was another building that I think Dr. Snow had his first office in there when he first came to town. And then Holcomb had his office in where Dr. Henry ended up with it. Then he had the office up on, is that the first street?
Wing
Street. But he did start in Dr. Henry's office.
And then the church was there?
Always.
Always there, the Presbyterian.
But they had the manse there at
oh,
that
yes.
time.
Yes.
they did, and they tore that down and made the addition.
What kind of meals did you serve in the bean?
Well, we had breakfast was big time, at noon, and at night. And it was like in the morning, or at noon, was always roast beef, roast pork, and mashed potatoes, peas or beans or something like that. You got bread, piece of pie.
Homemade bread.
Homemade bread. And 50 cents.
50 cents.
Coffee.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Lots of beans.
Lots of beans. Did you often visit the theater next door? The old opera house, that was called that after the other opera house went out of business?
No, it was always called the opera house.
Always called.
But the Shorty Thompson, we call him Shorty, he's a little short guy. Shorty Thompson run that and built it. I mean, rebuilt it. He put a balcony in it and that sort of thing. And put the movie camera or the projectors upstairs.
And of course, silent movies.
Silent. Well, they started, I run the movie at one time.
You did?
$2 a night.
Great.
Two shows. We're on the slides for advertising everybody in town.
Right.
And we got $2 a night. There's two of us running machines because it took two to run. We had two machines. And you just set up there already, and when it come to the end of the reel one or two, you'd start the other one up. And shut the other one up, rethread the other one, ready for it. And generally run about sometimes six reels for the show.
They were large back then.
Yeah.
And if it didn't start on time, did they clap?
Oh, she broke. Film broke, everybody clapped and hollered, mad. That was the days.
Now those were silent films.
Well, Shorty Thompson probably originated the first sound with movies because he liked to play the drums and he had a lot of gadgets. He had a machine that sounded like the water slopping up against the dams and the docks and so on. And then he had a leather pillow that he pounded on to make the horses run. And then he had a couple of people, one played the violin and one played the piano, and they played the real sad music, or if there was something going on, they made lots of noise. But we had sound.
It must have made it much more interesting than those dull times.
Because everybody got excited.
Yeah. Do you recall the businesses other than Uptown in Northville? How did people make their living?
Oh, we had one of the biggest scale factories in the United States. Stimson Scale Factory was bought out by Dayton, not Dayton, but what's a big scale factor right now? They're still making scales.
Oh, I can't think
you
of
you see their names on the scale. But they bought them out. They went Toledo scale. They went to Toledo. Well, we had a big scale factory. They made small scales for stores, and then they had the big platform scales for hay wagons and all that sort of thing. And then we had a coffee mill business. They made coffee mills. And they were by Crane. Big, big mills.
Oh.
And then they went to put electric motors on them. They got right modern before they went out of business. And I don't know I don't know the name of that mill. But
where
they
was
were all
that
right
located?
Together. Well, they were down there where the outfit that's making the washers were.
On Katy Street.
On Katy Street.
I see.
The buildings, they tore them down. It was quite a long, buildings. And they had the old, we forgot that we had the Bell Foundry down there.
Of course.
They made bells that shipped down all over the world.
Was that not
the Bell Foundry?
Yes. Who owned that?
Not,
that was before Ambler's time.
Before Ambler's. Ambler bought it out. But it was quite a long while before Ambler. But they made bells down there, and then they made the weights for the scales. The weights that went on
1 pound, half pound.
And then they made furnaces.
So.
The old furnace for the houses. They heat the house with it.
Yes, I think you can still see Ambler's name on some of the old doors on the furnaces.
Yeah, still there.
That's interesting.
But it was before Ambler. He bought out the whole works. But I forget who made that name of that furnace before he bought the furnace out and renamed it. But it was made before his time.
And he then said, around the corner on what was called Plymouth Avenue, you had the Stinson.
Well, that was more modern times. Stinson didn't come in until Stinson didn't take his plane until, was I still in high school? Probably in the late 20s, the Stinson. And they made the plane there, the body of the plane and the wings and all, and then they had to take them out to the field to put the wings on because they couldn't transported through town. So they took him out to the field at Beckton, 6 Mile.
Was there something in that building previous to Stinson there?
Yeah, that was when the scale factory was there.
Oh,
it laid there empty for some time and then Stinson went in there. But Stinson are different names.
Oh.
Stinson was the pilot.
Right.
He designed probably the first closed-in cockpit plane was Stinson's.
Was he a Northville man?
No.
Or just came to town to...
Came to town and found a place to build. And after they built them, were very popular, sold a lot of them, were doing real well. Then Wayne, Michigan, said, hey, we'll build you an airfield and a plant. So they moved out of Northville and moved to Wayne. And then we had an empty building. I forget.
Was it furniture after that?
No.
No.
It was nothing. Why, Vanetta bought the whole thing.
Cars.
Well, he had cars in the one building where the calling coffee mills were made. But I think the building just laid there doing nothing until this outfit came along and had the Ambler was out of there then. And then the outfit's in there now bought out that piece of property. Probably bought it from father. And I keep thinking that Page Motor Car had something to do with it. Probably somebody around town will know that Page Motor had something to do with that. I don't know whether they built anything there for Page or not, but Page, I think they were in there. But then beyond that, was a Globe manufacturer.
Right.
They made all the church furniture and school furniture, desks and so on.
Those were shipped all over.
All over. And I think probably the insignia was a globe around, like on the desk they had a round cast iron thing with a globe on it.
So you knew where the furniture came from.
Globe manufacturer. And they made furniture there for years.
Now, were those local people starting that business, or did they come to town?
They come to town. Mm-hmm. Probably years ago, but they became local people.
Yes.
Probably one of them, I remember a guy by the name of Doff, an old name, Doff, that he was mayor of town. If you look it up, you'd find that he was mayor of the town at one time. But he had something to do with the globe fan manufacturing company. Then across the street, where Ford Motor is, Dubar's Lumber Yard. When you say lumber yard, they made all kinds of pulleys for the barns and for, but in those days they didn't make these pulleys out of metal, they made them out of wood pulleys.
Oh.
The whole pulley was wood. And then they had the churn, they made the churn factory was there. No, it was the rocker churn.
Oh.
The churn factory, and Bonetta had something to do with that. Not Fuzz, but his parents had something to do with the churn factory. You'll probably find a few churns around town with the churn, Northwood churn on them.
Now, would that make more than a pound of butter?
These were probably large. Had different sizes. Rocker type.
Yes.
Well, they probably made the splash charts too, but the big thing was the rocker type.
Easier to do?
Yeah. Well, it could get more done. And then they, of course, in the lumber yard, I'm trying to think of the name of the people who owned that, Dubar's Lumber Yard. A lot of Dubars. Well, we got Dubar Street.
Oh, yes.
They were one very popular.
Early settlers.
Yeah, they made the homemade wagons, wagon wheels.
Yes.
Spokes for wagon wheels and all that sort of thing. All the fixtures that went for wood. In those days, instead of steel, they used wood.
What were the streets like?
Gravel streets. Mud clear up to your top of your head.
And then where was the mill?
Right around the corner on
Griswold.
Right. About just beyond where the bridge is. On the west side of the street. Was the mill.
Yeah. Now that's about where the historical village is, or
closer to the road. About where they're moving this new building, and that's probably why they got trouble with the foundations. It's because of where the old mill used to sit.
Oh.
Probably where that water that there probably was where the old wheel pit was and so on, because they had overshot wheels.
Now, was Interurban in business at this time yet, or this is before?
Well, they went out of business about 1924.
Yeah,
that they were in business from, during the war in 1918. They probably started their streetcars, probably started in probably Actually, I can't remember when they didn't have a streetcar.
So they were there in the early 1900s. Yeah. At paved road then, or still?
No, just
over the gravel.
Yeah, a streetcar run right up the middle of the street.
Yes. And so Griswold was a through road then, because
it went over. It was always a great separation. Griswold and the railroad track.
Oh.
Never went over, so I can remember. Never. It was an old wooden structure. The streetcar went across it, and the road went across it. Went out Griswold.
Out Griswold to 8 Mile.
To 8 Mile. And they went right down 8 Mile Road to Farmington Road. Farmington to Grand River. Grand River to Detroit, and they branched off at Orchard Lake Road, the Pawhead.
Correct, yes.
They had good transportation then.
And I understand it took, what, about an hour to get?
An hour downtown.
Downtown, fantastic.
You could go the other way, too. You could go by way to Plymouth and Wayne, go down Michigan Avenue.
And get.
And I think it took a little longer than
for about, what, 10, 15 cents?
Oh, more than that. Across, I think probably more like about 40 cents or 30 cents round trip.
All the way.
Or one way.
Yeah, all the way.
You know, a lot of the people in Northville went downtown every day. They played cards going down and they played cards coming back. And the smoker. In those days, they had a smoker. You weren't allowed to smoke all over the place.
But you could smoke on the inner.
Oh, yeah. But on the front of the car, they had a partitioned off place that was called a smoker.
I'm sure only men were in there.
Yeah. Only men. Well, once in a while, the bad women smoked in those days.
I love it. I love it. Then coming up Main Street, going west again towards town, there were homes in there, up the hill, like where my...
Oh, yeah.
And then, what...
Well, wait, first going up the hill, where the, before you get to the eating place, what's the big stuff?
Gandhi's, before...
Before you get to Gandhi's. Well, there was more homes.
Yes.
Beautiful homes. But the one that where the upholstering shop is there now, isn't it? Upholstering or...
Antiques. Yes.
And so on.
Yes.
That was a boarding house for the gold cure across the street.
Oh, that's right.
They had a jag, we call it. The gold cure was a jag for the jag cure. They came from all over to be cured from, even back then, for drinking.
For old alcoholics.
Well, alcoholics.
And but
they
it
call
was
it the jag cure.
Oh.
And they call it the gold cure.
Right.
Meaning that they had to have lots of money to pay for the cure. And a lot of the people, they were well-to-do people that were out of control on the alcohol way back then.
Was that run by doctors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I don't know who they were, but I remember the Jags used to come into the restaurant for snacks. And I can remember one real nice looking old guy. He was old then to me, probably he was 34 years old. But I would always say, he'd always say, it's hell to be rich.
I think I'd like to try it.
Yeah, it's hell to be rich.
Now, your mother would be one of the first women.
Operate
a business.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mrs. Brock. It was a Mrs. Brock had the grocery store on Main Street. And it was a combination, grocery store and military. I guess they called them the yard goods. But she had groceries and yard goods.
And your mother was the other business lady in town.
Yeah.
And that, well, she started out, made it easy for the rest of us to follow.
Well, she must have started out. See, my brother was 2 years older than I. So we both were young. We were babies. She put us in the window. She had a fence across the back of the window. The windows were deep.
Yes.
She had a fence across the back of the window, and she put that was our playpen right in the front window.
Well, she ran her business.
She ran the business.
That's fantastic.
And they're open from 7 in the morning till 2 o'clock at night. Because the Ford, when the Ford started up, after Dubar went out of there, Ford put the Elk plant in there. They had 3 shifts. She stayed open for all the shifts. They'd come on about 12 o'clock and she'd stay be open for that. She didn't get cleaned up till about 2. So she was there from 11 till 2 in the morning.
That's
7 days a week. Now they worry about, oh, the work 5 days a week.
A 40-hour week's the limit.
Yes.
She was a pioneer in her field.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic
to
set it up for the rest of the women to believe that they could do this type of thing.
Sure.
A great
and she
pioneer.
Had all women working for her. All women. There are women that were widowed. And wanted to make, and I imagine back in those days, I can remember in my time, that I can remember, because I worked in there too, that, she went out of there in 1928, the year I graduated from high school. She wanted me to take over, and I said, no way, I don't want any part of this kind of business.
You had enough.
I had enough. So we sold to Brader's, bought Brader's house down. And on the trade.
Oh.
House in on the trade.
I see.
Right.
And did they open up in that building?
No.
No.
Tore it right down and built the new building that's there
and
now.
Because they had been
so
around
that would
on
be
Center
probably,
Street.
He opened up probably 1929. I don't know whether there's a date on the building or not, but it could have been about 29 because it would have taken, he bought it in 28.
Now he was already in business around on
Center Street
and moved around. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We've left out our fire protection in Northfield. We had a volunteer fire department. We still have it. Let's keep it. And we had, at that time, we had one hose cart with the big wheels. That was all the hose we had on that one cart. And the way everybody would run to the fire hall, and the ones that pulled the fire cart got paid. They're the only ones that got paid. And then as we grew up a little bit, we somebody haul it with a pickup truck or behind the car. They wanted to get there in a hurry.
Where was that located?
Right on Main Street, right between the right one end of the what do we call it now? Where the
parents' shop is?
The parents' shop is now, but the hell, the parents' shop won't be there.
Yeah.
What's the building right on the corner? Where the wholesale building? The wholesale house.
Meg's.
Right at the end, the east of end of Meg's. That was where our fire, that was all of our fire equipment.
Was that water included in there, in the tank, or?
No, they had to pump it.
Probably,
when we had fire hydrants. This is back, I did talk about the well, the one well in town, but we must have had a water pressure at that time. Beyond that, probably in the early 1900s, we had water pressure. Because I can remember getting in line to get a pail of water out of the well, because we didn't have any running water. We didn't have any sewers. Probably the sewers came in the early 20s, when we got sewers in Northfield. We had outhouses behind all the buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
And the hotel was located on the corner east?
Oh, yeah, where they're trying to build a new building. The Amber House was called the Amber House. And it was owned by the Amblers.
Who stayed there?
I suppose the people that came into town, salesmen and so on.
Were they called drummers back then?
Drummers, yeah. Salesmen. And of course, the streetcar, we had a streetcar coming right up to Main Street, stopping right at the four corners. That was the end of the line. And they called it the end of the line. The conductor would holler out, end of the line.
The crow's nest was still there?
Yeah, we had a bandstand right at the end of the, right at the four corners, we had a bandstand called the crow's nest.
And actually had band concerts?
Oh, the band concerts used to be on Saturday nights. I remember one year us bad boys got in a line in front where they could see us looking at us, all sucking on us. Oh. Poor guys trying to blow on a horn. The kids sucking on.
Well, it's a good naughty thing to think of to do. Safe.
Oh, it was safe. We didn't hurt anybody, only that they couldn't be good musicians with us sucking on those lips.
That's interesting. You did not go into the restaurant business, Don. What did you do when you...
Oh, I went to work for County, Wayne County Roads. And in those days, it was called Wayne County Roads. And I guess I worked there 42 years. And was probably one of the first traffic and safety engineers in the county, or in the country. Because they didn't even have any courses in the universities for traffic and engineers when I started out.
And traffic was getting a little heavy.
Oh, I guess it was.
Everyone drove a car.
Everybody went from the horses to the car.
What did you have?
Huh?
What car?
My first car was a 1928 or 29 Ford Roadster. In those days, they call them Roadsters. I had all the trimmings on it. I had two spare tires, fender wells, trunk rack, and a rumble seat, and the whole works. I think that car cost me $728. Imagine, $728. Of course, that was a lot of money back in 1928.
Correct. It would be worth a fortune today.
Yeah. I remember going to the bank pull out that money to buy the car, and the fella in the bank, in those days, the man waiting on you might be president of the bank, and he asked me what I'm going to do with all that money, and I thought, well, I didn't feel it was any of his damn business, so I pulled all the rest of my money out. I didn't have that much, but I pulled it all out, put it in the other bank up on the corner.
Just for privacy's sake.
Yeah, it wasn't any his business.
I like
what
that.
I was doing with my money. But then probably later on, I think probably in the 30s, about 33, I opened up a restaurant in the bottom of the Huff Building, which the top of the Huff Building at that time was a hardware store.
That's on the corner of Main and
Center. Where the credit union is now. They had a beautiful basement with, it originally was way, way back in its original state, was an ice cream parlor. Had a terrazzo floor, black and white terrazzo floor. I guess it's probably still there.
It is.
And I had a restaurant down there. Had about, oh, maybe 14 or 16 stools and maybe, six tables.
The same type of restaurant your mother operated?
Well, yes, we had roast beef and that sort of thing. Mostly sandwiches, though. And of course, I did run a poker game in the back room on Saturdays and Sunday nights to pay my rent.
That was the most popular spot.
Oh, boy, that was, had all the doctors and all the people that had any warehouse would be down there playing poker on Saturday nights, Friday nights.
Fantastic.
And I had a drag on the table. I got enough money out of the deal to pay my rent.
It's a way to stay in business.
Yeah.
That's great.
Back, of course, it was against the law to be playing poker because it was high stakes stuff. They didn't play for pennies.
Oh, that wasn't pennies.
Oh, no. That was high stakes stuff.
You had to have the money going in.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. None of this.
What kind of roads did we have in Northville about this time?
Well, most at that time, what we're talking about right now, we had paved streets. Paved street right up to the middle of Main Street in Northville was all paved. 7 Mile Road was paved.
And lights going into Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, lights all the way.
I remember that.
Before the bubble broke. See, the bubble broke in the, well, before the banks.
28.
But all the Detroit Sanitarium, Mayberry Sand, was brought out from the railroad cars in Northville, and they trucked out Main Street out to the sanitarium. All the stuff that went out there to build those buildings, the bricks and the tile and everything, came right out Main Street.
But it came to Northville by train?
By train. And then it was transported on out to the Mayberry Sand. They had Packard trucks, I can remember. Packard trucks, chain driven trucks, hard tires. People in the school complained about the noise of Main Street being cluttered up with trucks going back and forth. The teachers couldn't teach because of all the noise.
Because they had to travel Main Street
Main
and
Street
then to
already,
7
yeah.
Mile. Both 8 Mile Road and 7 Mile brought people through town
right
to
through
go
town.
West.
We went out Rogers to Haight, went Main Street to 7. There was no cutoff coming in Main Street. You come in 7 Mile Road and come right up through the Main Street. It's the only way you could get out. Northville was the end of the world.
Previous to the trucks era, how did the freight get delivered in Northville?
By horse and dray, but it came to the beef depot.
Who owned that business?
Parents. Parents delivery company. Not the parent that's in there now, but it was another parent.
The owner. And then he would deliver it to the individual homes?
Homes and businesses.
A lucrative business?
Yes, it was. Oh, yes. Picking up all the Sears Roebuck stuff.
Right.
Oh, man.
You lived out of the catalog.
Montgomery Wards, Sears Roebucks. It was all dependent on those mail order places. That didn't. We had stores in town, but not the capacity that Sears and Roebuck had. So we had to depend on Sears. Well, I think probably we missed out on Silver Spring. We hadn't said anything about Silver Spring. Probably somebody else will.
Well, we'd
but
like to hear
it was
yours.
More than just a spring. It turned out in the its infancy, it was just a spring for the trains to stop by and get a pail of water for the engineer. And then as it grew, back would be east of where the spring well is now, across the railroad tracks, was a, they built another spring house, a big building down there, and they had a bottling works. It was called a Silver Spring Pop. They made pop down there, all the different kinds of pop. And then two, they would service the city of Detroit, the office buildings, with Silver Spring water. Probably somebody else will have more to say about that. They'll know more about it. We hope they aren't all dead by now.
That's good.
And while I'm thinking about it, probably where the high school is, that property in there used to belong to my granddad. He had 60 acres in there.
And that was Grandfather Walters?
Walters. Grandfather Walters. And he used to use that. He had a little gravel pit up there. Being an old stonemason, he got his gravel and his sand out of this pit. He had his own source of supplies. So most of the houses around Northville, when he was building them, he got his own sand and gravel. Now, where else would have you got? They didn't have anything such as washed gravel in those days.
No.
Or clean. He'd go to one spot in the gravel pit and probably get the right kind of sand for what he was doing. He had a pocket over here and a pocket over there to get the right kind of sand.
And that was sold to the school district?
No, well, it was Manning and Lockton bought it, the big gravel pit outfit. And they mined it for quite a while.
Right on Main Street?
Yeah, beyond, you know, where the school is now, up
yes.
in that area.
Yes.
And then they sold it to the school for the school property. But originally it was my grandfather.
Did that have to be filled in then when the school?
Well, they recontoured it. They just got in there with bulldozers and recontoured the whole thing. And made the top flat for where the school is.
Yes.
If you notice, you look at it, it wasn't a natural hill because it was a gravel pit. They flattened it out. Same as they did on 7 Mile Road. But there was no water. Like on 7 Mile Road, you got water, but they never got down that far on the gravel.
Interesting.
Up on a hill that way. But that was my granddad's property originally. We haven't talked about Mealtown.
That's right.
Town was named after subdivided it way, way back. Probably look at the records, you'd find that it was a farm, probably, way, way back.
Now, this would be east of the racetrack area.
It would be east of the racetrack and result of the, what's on the corner there now?
Cady Street in there?
There's Beale Street.
Beale Street.
That whole area down there was Beale Town. I don't know. It was named after the guy that subdivided it. His name was Beale.
Was there a store there or anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Where the hotel is, was a store. It was Kohler's.
The Kohler family that lived out on Temple.
And they lived above it, or lived back of it. They had their own home there, and they had a store there.